Talked about last week was that not everything that we call muktzah is really muktzah. Okay? In fact, most things that we call muktzah are not muktzah. Muktzah is specifically those things which are not mukhan, have no use for Shabbos at all. Garbage and all those type of things. That's what we discussed last week. And that was the chiddush that came out last week, that you can't move your garbage unnecessarily, only if it's bothering you. And things which, let's say, orange peels and all these type of things which have no use, that's muktzah. So we'll see other broken items.
Dirty diapers.
Right. But what we discussed. But let's say.
Dead anything,
right.
But dead anything, I think you have a problem with, right? Moving dead animals.
If it's really bothering you.
Yeah, if it's bothering you, maybe, but otherwise not.
Right.
The question is, what about those items which are not really mukta? Which are not mukta? What they are is, they are what everyone else started calling mukta. Pens, cell phones.
Colloquial
mukta. Right. Which is, we said those things are not really, in fact, those things are not mukta. They're kalim. They're vessels. They're usable items. They're things which theoretically even have some sort of secondary use which you could use on Shabbos. Like Rabbi Yashiv says, a pen you could theoretically use to point. Right?
Uh-huh.
So all these things, electrical items and electronics, may not have such a clear secondary use.
You could use to snort coke if you really wanted to. They can see a Shabbos.
Yeah.
You could do what? You could snort coke with a $100 bill.
So,
so it has a use.
Out of left field, okay.
So the point is that
mine was
everybody's got their own
thing on
their speak it out.
So those things are a whole different category of items. These are a whole different category, and their halacha is different. They're not mukta. Mukta you're not allowed to use and move at all. These things, what we're going to call them, is it's called a klish malachtoi la'isim. It's a vessel, it's a utensil, but its primary use is a prohibited use. And therefore, you're not allowed to use it and move it on Shabbos. Okay? And this is a new gzeira that we said is called gzeiras kalim. It's a new gzeira that Chazal made. You're not allowed to move it for no particular reason. Okay? The halacha with these things is the following. This is where everyone picked up the term letzorech makoyma. You ever heard this term tzorech makoyma?
Right.
That if you need the space, if it's bothering you, you can move it. So everyone said, well, if the garbage is bothering you, so just move, or whatever, the garbage is in your way, you can move it because tzorech makoyma, you need the space. We said yesterday, and we said last week, let's say raw eggs in your fridge are mukta. So if you need to get to what's behind it, you can't move them. So everyone said, well, tzorech makoyma, it's bothering you. Tzorech makoyma has nothing to do with mukta. Something which is muktzah, tzorech makomo is not a matra on that. You can't use it. But tzorech makomo is a svara only in klisha malachto le'isser. In these types of utensils, which are kalim, that's where you're allowed to move them for two reasons. Tzorech gufoy or tzorech makomo. Tzorech gufoy means if you want to use it. And tzorech makomo means if you want need the space.
So Shabbos lift. That are on the table, and you need the space.
Okay, but the Shabbos lit that you lit on Shabbos, or you didn't light on Shabbos?
Before
Shabbos, but they were lit coming into Shabbos.
Right.
So that's worse, because those are real muktzah, because they had fire on them. It's not just klisha malachto le'isser.
Even if it's on a tray itself? Are you lifting the tray?
Yeah, because the whole tray becomes tuffel to the fire, and the fire is muktzah. So you can't really move the only thing you could do is, on Sukkot we had this, because we lit in Sukkot and I wanted to bring it in afterwards. So there what I did was I put my, and we'll learn the details of it, but I put my wife's a piece of jewelry on the tray, so that the tray is holding both the jewelry and the fire. So since it's holding something which is mutter, then you're allowed to move it.
Is that Shabbos you're allowed to do also?
Yeah, only after it went off, obviously.
Can we use
not while it's lit.
Oh, okay, so then there's no point in really.
Well, no, Shabbos morning, let's say Friday night's there on the table, but Shabbos morning you want to move it, or you want to clear off the tablecloth or whatever, so you could do that if you have something on the tray which is more chashav.
It has to be there beforehand?
Yeah.
So was going to come pick up your lunch.
With the price of silver, the jewelry was going to be good.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened with the rotten eggs? I can't move the rotten eggs to get rotten, from behind
raw,
it?
Raw eggs. Or rotten, same thing, but why rotten eggs?
I thought you said rotten. I missed
no,
that.
Raw eggs.
Raw eggs. I can't move the raw eggs to get to what's behind it.
No. This past Shabbos, I made a separate shelf. The eggs were on one shelf. I told my wife the freezer. I had to make room in the freezer because that's what we're constantly doing.
Right. Oh, raw meat. Raw meat. There you go. It's good. Yeah. Beautiful. So raw meat, raw kishka, or whatever. I'm just thinking about the items in my freezer. Raw barley and all these type of things.
Raw, basically.
It's unedible on Shabbos. You can't cook on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, it wouldn't be muktzah because Yom Tov you could cook. But Shabbos, you can't cook. It has no use. So those things are muktzah. And they're not mutl tzarech makomo. Tzarech makomo has nothing to do with that. Okay? So let's... these are two categories that we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with both categories. We're going to have to deal with muktzah and klish and lachtel iser. But I think the klish and lachtel iser is more common. We have generally more klish and lachtel isers in our house than muktzah items. So let's start with that, and we'll go through some of the halachas on that.
But before the night is over, can we just learn the mechanism of putting a fork at the bottom of the garbage can, how that helps you?
Okay, I'll throw that in.
Fork or a can of tuna fish.
Yeah, the can of tuna. No, it's in a can of tuna fish in the chalent, and you know.
Oh, that's right. The can of tuna fish in the chalent.
Right. It's a rock.
Yeah, you got to do the can of chalent in the. Right. Okay. So let's. I'll get to that. Okay.
The garbage.
Yeah.
I did the garbage. I didn't do the garbage.
I forgot about the garbage.
What'd you do with the garbage?
We designated a garbage spot and said it's not moving.
It's not moving. Yeah. Okay. Listen, people. You learn a lot. Beautiful.
I didn't do that this week.
What could be better? People, we're learning. Halachas. This is great.
Muhammad went to the mountain. The mountain didn't come to Muhammad.
This is being recorded as we speak. So, so as far as klish and lachtel le'iser, okay, let's give some examples of klish and lachtel le'iser so we're just used to it. A pen, a wallet, a cell phone, an alarm clock, what else could we do?
Hammer.
A hammer. Tools, right. Tools, a hammer.
We're back. The alarm clock. It's a klish and lachtel le'iser. Why?
Because it's used.
You can use it for... You can use it to
no,
tell
but
what time it is.
It has a use of heter, but also has a use of iser because you could set its primary use is to set an alarm, hence its name, alarm clock.
Well,
so setting alarm is also no, but you can't set an alarm on Shabbos.
Oh, you can't set
alarm. Right. So its primary use would be prohibited for you to do. And for you to set the alarm on Shabbos,
right,
would be
also
for you to write with a pen is also for you to make a phone call is also.
I don't know. I would say the primary use of an alarm clock is to wake you up, not to set it.
but the primary use
requires you to do an iser to get that use.
Okay, but you can't
wake up if you're not going to set it.
Unless you set it before Shabbos.
Okay, but in general.
You move it under, like space to put it under the pillow and it makes a lot of noise.
Yeah. If it goes off, you mean.
It goes off on Shabbos?
Yeah. That's how I wake up in the morning. You better show. I have my cell phone. It goes off for the morning and for my afternoon.
And when does it go off?
One time is at 8:30 in the morning. The other time.
How long does it ring?
Way too long. It can wake up my wife, so I like to stick it under the pillow.
Okay, so we'll get to that.
You touch them once a day?
Yeah.
It's not a muktzah thing.
It's not a muktzah. It's a klish and lachta litza, so maybe it's mutter to do that. It's a good thing that your alarm clock works. Because if your phone didn't work, it would be garbage and it would be muktzah. But since your phone works, it could be that we're going to see it's mutter. Let's say a phone, right? You could use it. To look at the time. I mean, a lot of the screens go off, so it's not so, but...
Many moons ago, we learned, okay, when they used to have the wind-up clocks, that you could actually rewind the alarm part.
Well, that's mutter, but to set a digital alarm is also. So you can't use an alarm clock on Shabbos. But the question is what you're asking. It has a use of heter. So since it has a permitted use, what's its status? So we're going to say that's a klish malachto le'iser. Okay, a klish malachto le'iser. Any more examples? I'll tell you a very interesting one that people don't realize. An empty pot. Why is that a klish malachta lisa? Because you use to cook with it. You know how to cook on Shabbos.
So what about mixed? People use it to mix things also.
Oh, so that's why it has a secondary use of heter.
So
can you do that? Do you have to have a separate mixing bowl or could you use a pot?
And if you live in South Florida, you can use it to celebrate one of the sports teams winning.
I thought it was on the same with the $100 bill.
This is getting worse by a minute here. So, okay, all these items are kalusha malach talisa. So let's discuss the halacha. I like your example, okay? So let's take the cell phone. The cell phone goes off. Or a fan. A fan is blowing. Okay? So, now, just I'm going to give three examples. I'm going to categorize it based on three cases. One is, your fan is in the sukkah. A fan is a klisha malachta l'isser, presumably, because in order to turn it on, it would be also to do that. Okay, that's understood as that's the accepted halacha. So, any electronical or something that uses electricity. So, I'll give you three examples, and we'll have to discuss the halacha in three cases. You have a fan that's going on Shabbos in your sukkah, because it's hot. If it rains on this fan, it gets broken. The motor gets wet, it could break.
Okay.
So now, you want to bring the fan inside after your meal so that at night it won't rain and ruin the fan. Case number one. Okay? Case number two. You're sitting in the sukkah, you're hot, and the fan is not facing the right direction. You want it to face you. So you get colder. Can you move it to face you? Case number two. Case number three is, It's too cold, so you want to move it away from you. Okay? You're in bed, and it's blowing on your bed, and it's too cold. You want to move it away so that you could sleep in your bed, otherwise it's going to be too cold. Three cases. Okay? Yeah, three cases are clear?
Yes.
What is the status of those three cases? Can you move it?
True.
What?
False, you can't move it inside your house, but you can move it if you're too hot or too cold.
Yeah?
Makes sense.
Okay, makes sense. What's the pshat? So pshat is like this. There's three categories of types of moving something. One is called mechama latzel. You're moving it to protect the item. It's not for you. It's right. For the item. You're moving to protect the item.
Camera on the Shabbos table.
A camera on the Shabbos table. Now, what's the problem with the camera on the Shabbos table?
It's an expensive piece of item, and it's...
You don't want it to be there. Okay, so it's gonna, your grandkids are coming over or whatever, and they're going to start playing with it. You have to get rid of it. Move it, so it doesn't get damaged. So that's an example of mechama latzel. And a klisha malach to l'isr, even though it's not muktza, okay, but you're not allowed to move it if your only intention of moving it is to protect the item itself.
Only.
Yeah.
You have to do it with another.
Oh, okay. If your only intention is to move it for the purpose of saving the item itself, or if you have no reason at all, that's awesome.
How about to keep your marriage because your wife's
silent?
Shalom bias.
Right, shalom bias.
For shalom bias.
I saying that's because nefesh more than shalom bias.
Would you move the frozen beef for shalom bias?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's
how about the garbage can?
Listen, you know, that's next week. Like someone came to the Rav that I learned halachas with, a lot of halacha by. So he before Sukkot, a lot of people would come with him with their esrogim to look at it. It's a nice esrog, whatever. Down the block from him is the Rav Tzitzyahu Solomon, is the Mashgiach. You know, Rav Tzitzyahu. So someone came to him and said, he showed him two esrogim. So he says, and they're both nice. Like, what's your question exactly? He says, my question is, I like this, and my wife likes this one, which is Shadig. So he said, for that child, you have to go next door to Matisyahu, to the Mashgiach. I don't deal with that child. But anyway, so.
That's a smart man.
It's a smart man, right?
That's an easy answer.
Yeah.
Pick the one you like, and you'll be single.
Yeah, a guy asked me right before Pesach, he said, my wife is makbid that we should only buy Chalav Yisrael for Pesach. We don't keep Chalav Yisrael usually, but for Pesach she wants Chalav Yisrael, but I don't go for that. So what should I do?
He threw in the I don't go for that before you answered.
Yeah. So I don't, you know. So yeah, that was one of those, you know, I don't get involved in Tom Bai's halacha question.
So what'd you tell him?
What?
What'd you tell him? Wife's too good for me.
I said something like, it's probably
best.
You'll save more money on the Chalav Yisrael than what it's going to cost you to, you know, all the flowers you're going to have to buy. You know, so. The The second two categories, okay, the first category is mechamel etzel, that you're only moving it to protect the item. That's aser. On a klishim lach, to lesser it's aser. So if you see before Shabbos, okay, you were in a big rush, all of a sudden you come in and your iPhone is sitting, you know, on the floor. And, you know, your kids are going to play with it, you can't move it. That's it. You gotta leave it there. Okay? Now, the other two cases are called Tzarech Gufoy and Tzarech Makoymoy. Tzarech Makoymoy, I think, is more well known. Tzarech Makoymoy means is that you need the space where the item is sitting. Okay? So let's say in the case of your camera sitting on the dining room table, if you've already eaten your meal and it's not bothering you anymore, and the only reason you would be moving it is to protect it, that's awesome. But let's say you're about to sit and have your meal, so it's in the way. So you need the space. If you need the space, that's mutter to move. Then at that point, you can pick it up with your hands and move it. No problem. Okay? So anything which is tzarech makoymoy is mutter to move. All right? Now, so the application of that would be, is, you know, the general application is, you have some sort of mukta item of klishim lach to leser, your cell phone or camera or whatever it is sitting on your dining room table, and you're about to have your Shabbos Suda, it's on a chair that you need to use for a guest, and all those type of things, you're allowed to move it in order to use the space underneath. Okay? Now, we said, what about... Okay, that's case. That's category number two. Category number three is tzarech gufay. Do you know what tzarech gufay means? Well, tzarech guf. The guf is the body of the kli. It means you want to actually use it. You want to use it. But you want to use it for the permitted use, not for the prohibited use. So in other words, I want to take the pen, okay, and I want to use it to point, like this. So that's called tzarech gufay, because I'm trying to use the pen for a use. I'm not trying to move it. I don't need the space, but I'm using it. That's the motive. So the classical example given by the Gemara is you want to take a hammer and crack a nut with it. So it's tzarech gufay, that's the motive. It's a klisha malachtoy le'isa. Okay? So now let's go back to our case.
A cell phone with a clock, a long clock.
Yeah, but the problem, so and the display doesn't go off?
What do you mean this
movie? A lot of times the time, you want to tell the time on the clock, on the phone?
Yeah, when it goes off, it'll light up.
Oh.
I always wondered on the hammer business. You take a hammer out to open up nuts. You just, the moment you finish...
So we'll have to get to that. What do you do the moment you're finished? Do you have to drop it, or can you move it to wherever you want to put it now? Okay? We'll have to see. Now, we'll have to get to that. Okay, so let's go to our case with the fan. What we said with the fan was, a fan is a klishim lach to l'iser. So we said three examples. Now I think the three examples should be clear what the halacha is, right? We have one example is you want to move it because you want to bring it inside from the rain. It's out in the sukkah. You want to bring in the fan. Not unplug it, but you want to bring it inside because of the rain.
What do you mean bring it inside?
So it doesn't break.
So it doesn't break. Cause
so it's not really to work. It's not to use it. It's just to move it around.
Correct. It's just to move it to protect it from its rain. That would be awesome. Now, the other case is you're in the sukkah. You want it to blow on you. That's mutter because that's tzarech gufay. You want to use the fan. So you want it to blow on you. You're allowed to move it to blow on you. Okay? Now, what about the other case?
Blow away from you.
Blow away from you.
Because you're not using it to help you. You're just getting rid of it.
Oh, so you're not using it to help you. But what the place can say is that that's called tzarech makoymoy. Why? Because the fan is making this space unusable. It's unfit for use. I don't want to be here now because it's bothering me. So I would have to move away if I don't move the fan. So therefore, by me moving the fan, it's enabling me to use this space.
Right.
So therefore, the tilt that I'm doing, I'm moving the fan in order to use the space where the fan is. That's called tzarech makoymoy. So that's mutter. Okay? So now let's take this guy's example where your cell phone, you set an alarm before Shabbos, and you bring it to your bed, and now you want to you bring it to your bed, and now it goes off, but it's staring other people. It's going off. It's loud. You want to put it under your pillow. So that's mutter, because that's called, you're moving it, l'tzarech makoymoy. Why? because it's making the room unusable. Your wife is going to have to get up and move to a different room.
But you're purposely setting it to go off on Shabbos.
So, that's okay.
It's okay.
Setting a crock pot at home anyway.
Yeah, but...
You put your flowers on the table and you take them off.
What are you saying? If it lights up or whatever, how's that a problem?
No, it's not a problem. But you just... But the question is, are you allowed to move it? Are you allowed to move your cell phone around?
Oh, so what are we saying?
So we're saying that if it's staring the mark, if, let's say, everyone's up already, and it doesn't really matter to anybody, then you shouldn't move it. Because it's not doing it. What are you moving it for? You want to hide it? You can't hide it on Shabbos. But if someone's still sleeping, and it's making it unfit for use, it's making the room unfit for use, so that's called Tzarach Mekaymoy now. That's Mutter. Okay? So, a Klish Malach to Lisser is Mutter Tzarach Gufoy Mekaymoy. Now, another very common example. Let's take now the pot. We said a pot is a Klish Malach to Lisser. So, you can't just move a pot for no reason. Okay? So, now, let's say you have you want to mix up a salad, and you want to use a pot to mix up a salad. That'll be Mutter. Why?
You're
using it, Saragufay. Or another good example, what happens all the time. We have to get to that pot.
You're moving other pots.
But they're not things that are...
But that's Tzarach Mekaymoy.
They're not mukhtar.
Those you can move with Tzarach Mekaymoy.
Okay.
What was it? And then... Because you need the space?
Yeah, because let's say you want to go into your pot shelf and you want to get the pot all the way in the back.
But it doesn't sound like you can move it back after.
So you can move those other pots.
You can't move it back. Unless it's Tzarach Mekaymoy after that.
How's that Tzarach Mekaymoy?
Well, what are you going to do with the pot? Leave it on the counter?
Technically, you can.
You could. And the question is, do you need that place?
Put it somewhere where you need the place.
Right. Let's say you want to mix up, that's his example. You want to mix up something, you want to make some salad or something, and make it, and you mix up in a pot. The pot is a Klish Malach to Lisser. So what we're saying is you have to move all the pots in front of it to get to that pot. So those you're allowed to move because that's Tzarach Mekaymoy. That one you're allowed to take out, that's Tzarach Gufoy. Another very common example. Let's say you want to put your dishes in the dishwasher, but you didn't empty out the dishwasher from before Shabbos. So you have pots in there. So those pots are not Tzarach Mekaymoy because you need the space where the pot is. You're allowed to take it and move it. All right. So the only thing you wouldn't be allowed to move the pot is if you're trying to protect the pot or just for no reason. Let's say you're finished, it's not bothering you, you just want to put it away, that you shouldn't do. Okay? But there's another important halacha which we should bring
up. How does this stuff become like... You could work around these things.
So you're not mukhayf to work around it. You're not mukhayf to work around it.
You don't need to. You can just move it.
Right. But where you do have to work around it, and this is very negative your case, is by Tzarach Gufay. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should not use Tzarach Gufay if you don't need to. In other words, if you could equally find something which is a completely mutter, then you should use that kli. So let's say you have a mixing bowl and a pot. So it makes no difference to you if you're going to mix the salad in the mixing bowl, which is a kli shenach to
leheter. A hammer or you have a nutcracker.
Right. A hammer or a nutcracker, right.
It's a hammer.
So don't use the hammer unless it's easier. But if the nutcracker is easier, you should use the nutcracker. So if you have a bowl, a mixing bowl, that you could use just as easily as a pot, you should use the mixing bowl. So okay, it would be also at that point to use the pot.
Right.
Okay? So that's where that comes in. Negeah. Mr. Schloss, what we said was, in your case, we said that if the alarm goes off and it's bothering you, or it's bothering the other people in the room,
right,
it's making that room unfit for use. So you'd be allowed to put it under your pillow because that would remain Tzarach Mekaymoy.
Even if you put it on, you knew it was going to be a problem when you put it on.
Right. Yeah, that's not the Chiddush.
Which part of the Chiddush? See, listen, last week...
The cell phone,
it's like
regular book.
I have an alarm clock. I always take that out of my room. My alarm clock goes off sometimes for the nights. I forgot what my wife's doing. But my phone, sometimes it goes off. I don't touch it. She doesn't care about the phone. Not me.
Right. That's what I'm saying. See, listen, sometimes we...
The thing that made up for not moving the garbage...
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we
it's garbage thing.
You come out.
Yeah. My wife was scared to touch it. She doesn't know. She's like, what's going to be with the garbage?
It's kryptonite.
What are you talking about? I have to take it out. I have to go out right away. right away. She's like, what do you mean? But I got to do it now. I said, I'm busy now.
Yeah. Don't worry. But then you're going to come in next week. See, sometimes you come out with new kulas, sometimes new chumras. It's always something new, right? But that's why it's very important to understand these two categories. That's exactly why I started last year with these two categories. There's mukta and there's klishim atalisa. Most people have everything in one big mishkababble. So the phones you don't touch, the garbage you move the tzarach b'kayma, the cell phone is off limits, everything's backwards. But the point is because you have to understand that there's two categories of mukta. A kli is not mukta. It's a utensil, it's a usable item. It's not mukta. It's a kli shalach t'lisser. It has halachas. It has a special gzeir. You're not allowed to move it for no reason, or for only to protect it. But if you have a reason, but again, the tzarach gufoy, like we're saying, that's important. You shouldn't just take advantage of it. And you know, like this, you know, I'm going to be called up to the Torah for an aliyah. I'm going to take out my pen from my pocket and use it as my pointer for my yad. They're going to throw you out of shul, and it could be they have a right to because there's a yad on the table. So use that one. What are you using this for? You can only use this if you don't have anything else to use. Okay, so that's why tzarach gufoy is not so shechiach. It's not so common. It's hard to find a scenario of tzarach gufoy.
You ever see Rabbi Samar use a laser pointer?
On Shabbos?
Not on Shabbos. That'd be a really great trick. If it was on before Shabbos.
It's on before Shabbos.
There would not be a problem.
No, it's probably mota.
No, that would be a big problem.
There are a lot of people
would kill his business. It's not happening.
I don't know if there's Kumar Sain on something which is mutter and people don't know the halacha. Just because people are maratzim, I don't think there's Mar Sain.
Sure there is. What do you mean? It's mutter to go to the bathroom in McDonald's. It's just because it appears that I'm going into a trade restaurant.
It's
awesome.
It's Maris.
That's the whole point of Mar Sain. The whole point of Mar Sain is you're doing something mutter. But you should
Different. They don't know what you're doing. They think that you're doing something else. But let's say they know what you're doing, but they think what you're doing is asr. That's not my sign.
If they know what you're doing.
You understand the difference? One is that you're doing something suspicious. It looks like you're doing X, but it could be that it looks like you're doing X. Right. It looks like you're doing something that you're not. That's a problem. You have to make sure.
Yeah.
But if you're doing, everyone knows what you're doing. They just think that what you're doing is asr. So let them learn the halacha. Tell them to learn something. What do you mean, my sign?
Pull up. If everyone knows the halacha, I'm asking, but if people are not aware of the halacha, then it's probably.
This is a big shaila in the Rishonim. What I'm telling you now is a big shaila in the Rishonim, if that's called Mar Sain.
You create.
I take my pen out of my thing and start going like this, and everyone's going to be like, Mar Sain, Mar Sain, learn the halacha.
Mar Sain would be.
I'm surprised.
Jonah's in order of people.
Because at the end of the day, it's
I was going to go there, but I didn't because
Shemra, everybody's running around.
You just took the words right out. I have a problem. I can't go home with my kids.
You're smart for not saying that.
There are people that
what's that?
Sephardi Ashkocha.
In town?
Yeah,
local Miami?
Eating there. I'm telling you, I've seen people from the neighborhood eating there. But I personally can't go in there. Why? Because people say...
People go with their rabbis. As Robert Lutterfield said, it's mutter. So they'll go.
Right.
He said it was mutter. It's a big shot.
Robert Lutterfield said it was mutter. Many people called him. Yeah, absolutely.
Even with the Salakay now?
I don't know the new one, but the last one.
Because the new one, I mean, I heard there's...
That's one of those ask your local rabbis.
They weren't under the thing.
I'm saying that would be more of a modified problem than going into a trade place.
You know, we should taste it and we should decide.
Just decide.
It just goes in and out of much
better.
Yeah, that's it.
In and out.
Easy fifth.
Easy fifth. What? Yeah. So there's a couple other examples
She sent it to me.
Of Klul Shemach Tal Issers is by the way, Klul Shemach Tal Isser. Klishim Lachlitz, another thing is people get confused. What about toys? Toys, very common scenario. Toys that make noise. You know, so can you move around those type of toys? So, what the place comes in is the following. A toy which its use is to make noise, a horn, something like that, that's a Klishim Lachlitz, sir. And you wouldn't be allowed to move it for no reason. You'd be allowed to move it to give it to your child, as long as they're not going to blow the horn. But if they're Higil Chinuch.
Slow down, what do you mean? You're allowed to move it to give it to your child if it's bad? batteries or whatever? How's that?
As I'm saying, a horn is not mukta. A horn is not mukta. It's a klishma.
So we're not talking about a toy that needs that has
I'm
batteries.
I'm talking about a play trumpet.
A horn.
Okay, that's made to make noise. So that's a klishma lachta le'iser, or a piano, all these things. That's a klishma lachta le'iser.
But the piano has batteries.
No, it's not a battery one.
It's not a battery. No, piano.
Batteries?
It's a bicycle horn. It's
what are batteries? Horn. Batteries, well, I'm not sure batteries makes a difference.
Like Harpo Marx.
Yeah. That's okay also. It's just the problem is that if they're going to, if when you move it, you're going to make, it's very easy that you should cut, you're going to end up pressing the buttons. That could be a problem. But let's say a car.
How about this light up sneakers?
Yeah, that's a problem. What about them?
You should try to
say light up.
Right, so you can't wear them.
Not wear them. Saying you can't, you are they moved to the touch? I'm guessing, yeah, no?
They light up
if they light up when you touch them, that's a problem.
Not when you touch them, when you bang it on the floor.
So I would say it's a klishma lachta le'iser, maybe. And therefore, you would be allowed to move it to use, but you're not using it.
Yeah, but you're not using it.
So it's makayim, it's a mess. If you're cleaning up.
No, you're not cleaning.
Where is it, on the table?
No.
What do you do with it?
Shoes, and then there's a bunch of shoes, and I got the light up ones on top of it, so I don't want to mess with it.
Sarach makayimai, though.
So he's saying I can pick it up and take it.
Sarach makayimai,
even though the light will go on.
No, if the light's going on, it's awesome. All these things, if the noise or the light.
There's a possibility. That's all these things have that possibility.
That's why you have to be careful. I'm just saying.
Bottom line is, what you're saying is, we have to spend 3 hours before Shabbos, and Mamash just set up the entire house.
But don't buy all these things.
No, I actually said that. No, I think that these things are fine.
Actually, if you think of kids, what do you mean, don't buy it?
We had such a funny story. My 3-year-old son, so he was in the store, and they brought him light up shoes to try on, and my wife didn't buy them for him. She bought the other ones, but he came home from the store. He was convinced that we bought him the light up ones. He was convinced, so he got the new shoes. So he says, "Tati, look, I got the light up shoes," and he presses it, and he's like, "It's not working right now." You know? Come back in a few minutes.
So you got the ones he wanted at a lower price.
Yeah. He still thinks that they light up, just they're not working.
Could have told him that. I'm sorry, that it's in Shabbos mode now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, now there's another thing that's very shechiach that's very important to know. Okay, big appliances could also be a klisha malachta le'iser. So, for example, an oven. An oven is a klisha malachta le'iser, right? Because the only thing you do in the oven is cook. You could have a permitted use, but what's the primary use? To cook. A dryer is a klisha malachta le'iser. A washing machine is a dishwasher. Dishwasher, I'm not sure. Well, oh yeah, okay. So all those things are klisha malachta le'iser.
Except on Shabbos mode.
No, even Shabbos mode, it's a klisha malachta le'iser. Because Shabbos mode doesn't mean you can cook. I mean,
well, it's warming up.
Okay, I'm just saying it's still klisha malachta le'iser because the primary use of this thing is to cook.
You have challahs in the oven.
Okay, so now your challahs are in the oven, your cum's gonna go off. Then you want to open the oven. So I'm saying you're allowed to open the oven door. Why are you allowed to open the oven door? I'm saying why? Because the oven door is blocking you from getting the thing. So it's called tzarech mekaymai, right? Because I want to open the oven door to get my challahs. Now why? So I should leave it open now, and why am I allowed to close it?
You're not allowed to close it.
Well, am I allowed to close it or not? What do you say?
It depends.
Hope so. What do you mean? If it's on the,
forget the Shabbos. What it's off. The oven's off.
Because if you leave it open, the
oven's off. Oh, teretz. Now it's talking about karma to close it.
Okay.
The point is it's not a blanket thing. The point is there's a heter. Why? Now let's say everything's closed. Now you just want to open the oven to check out, like, you know, your friend comes over and he's looking, you just bought a new oven, he's buying a new oven, you want to open the oven to just show him the oven. It's awesome.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm talking about if it's off.
It, you can close it.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to open it. Unless you say that to show him the oven, it's still called tzarech makoymai, whatever. But, you know, or the same thing goes with the dryer. Let's say you have closing your in your dryer, you've got to take out before Shabbos. So the dryer is a klisha malachta le'iser. But you're allowed to get the clothes out. So you want to open the thing, you're allowed to because it's a klisha malachta, because it's tzarech makoymai, because the door is blocking you from getting where you have to get. You don't want to get inside the dryer. But very often,
if the door is blocking you.
So now you want to get the clothes inside the dryer.
Why do I want to get the clothes in the dryer on Shabbos?
No, let's say I need a t-shirt. Right, the socks, they were washed right before. I didn't get them, I forgot to get them out. They weren't drying on Shabbos. They weren't mukta. I'm saying they were, you know. So you want to open the dryer door to get them out. That's okay, because, again, as long as the light's not going to go on. So the dryer door is blocking you from getting what you have to get. So it's called that you're moving the dried the door on the tzarech mekaymai. Now, hold on. Now, the question is often in the kitchen you have to close the door to the oven because it's going to block you. But in the laundry room, probably once you finish your socks, you're done. You're not going back in there for Shabbos. So pashtus, you're not allowed to close it if it's not bothering you.
Okay. Makes sense.
You understand? Because it's not bothering you at that point. Now, my point just is, it's not going to happen every day. But the point just is, people have to realize that all these things are issues, you know? And the truth is that the opposite is also true. A car is a klishma lach leser, and if you forgot something in the car, you could open the door and get something, take something out. As long as the light doesn't go on. So the light usually goes on, it's not going to be nogeya. But, you know, point is that just to you realize the categories is the, now one thing that you brought up and I just want to get to it and then I'll get to what you mentioned.
Fork and hammer.
No, but one thing. Oh yeah. So hammer is what you mentioned was, let's say. Oh, by the way, very important. What about a weapon? A gun.
For safety.
Right. Oh, I forgot you're here, so I have to be Makel. I have to be Makel here. So no, the point
is, a gun, but I know a lot of people carry it to Shabbos.
I don't carry the Shabbos. I carry it during the week. I don't carry the Shabbos.
How about on Yom Tov?
Now, the idea with it is that it's a klishim lach to lesser. Because it's used, the usage of it would be also, I don't even know if it has a secondary use, but let's say it has just to scare people, let's say. So, paperweight. Okay, so now you could move it, letzarech gufay, and the assumption is that that's called tzarech gufay because I may need it. And that's why am I carrying it on Shabbos? Because I may need it. So that's called tzarech gufay, so you would be allowed to, theoretically.
You want
to
go home and get it?
No, but it's still not so partial. Let's say you come home, and now you don't need it anymore in your house. So the second you come home, you have to. It gets complicated. And let's say you put it down for a minute. Now you can't move it. It's also, and there's a point is, yeah, it's also. Okay, so you have to just keep that in mind. When you're moving around these type of things.
Let's say it's on you. You have the ankle that's
on. Shefton, is that called moving? That may not be called movement at all.
It's on. Okay. Constant every second you have it's another issue?
No. It could be that's not called movement at all. That's not called tiltal mukta. It's not called carrying mukta at all. Now, like this. Where you mentioned like this. Let's say I take the hammer.
Well,
I crack the...
Getting back to the gun. So, he's saying that if you need a gun for protection on Shabbos, you can't carry a gun?
No, I'm saying you could.
You can carry it, but you can't take it off.
Because it's a tzarech gufay.
You can't shoot the guy. You can just have it on you.
Take it off.
You tell the guy, it's Shabbos, I can't take it off.
No, but my point is, let's say you come home. Once you're home, you don't need it anymore.
Just show it to him.
So now you put it on your table. Now you're
in trouble. I'd like to show the guys the book.
That's not where you put it.
The gun doesn't do
it. Put it away right away. Don't put it in.
And then you can put it back on when you leave. Okay, fine. Good. Okay, let's talk about hammers.
Okay, so now, he asked the Shaila, what happens?
You
take the hammer, and now you bring the hammer with the nuts. Now, you have to drop it on your kitchen table. I mean, what do you do with it now?
Once you're done cracking
it. Well, first of all, you need the kitchen table.
Okay.
That's first
right. So then you. Right. So the halacha is the following. The halacha is, at least by klishim lach leser, if you picked it up, for sure, if you picked it up, when you picked it up, you had a use for it, and now you've just finished the use. Once it's in your hand, Chazal said you can put it wherever you want. Okay? So once you're finished the use that Chazal allowed you to do, you can put it wherever you want. Well, Chazal, what the big machlokes in the place came is, let's say you picked it up for a prohibited use. You didn't realize what the halacha was. And you brought in the fan, you picked up the fan to move it inside. Which we said is also because of the rain, right? But now it's in your hand. Now are you allowed to bring it inside?
Once you picked it up.
Yeah.
No.
So this is a big machlokes. Mishnah Berurah says you could be lenient. And that even if you picked it up b'isser, once it's in your hand, you could already move it. The whole essence is to pick it up.
So if you picked up the $100 on the street, you already have it in your hands.
Yeah, you're assuming that that a money is a klishim lach to lesser. Maybe money's mukta.
Right.
If money's mukta, it's all different isser.
Maybe not a good example. But once you
a cell phone, a phone, whatever. Yeah.
So let's say the cell phone, whatever it is, something that's ringing. You could stop or whatever. You don't have to continue.
Right. Exactly.
Going, but once you're going, you
right. In other words, once you picked it up to put it under the pillow, and whatever, you can move it to a pillow in a different room.
Now what about fork?
Okay. Now last week.
Fork.
Last week, what I mentioned the following.
Fork.
Last week I mentioned the following rock in the
pillow.
Like rock in the.
Last week I mentioned the following heter. That to move a garbage can around, what you could do is you could put something in between the garbage can and the garbage bag, and that would be mutter. Why? The point is the following. The point is, which we have to cover in another shir, is that there's a concept called bosses. Bosses means it's the base. It's something which is holding mukta. Something which is holding mukta is also mukta. That's the principle. But let's say something is holding mukta and permitted and prohibited items. It's holding both. So what's the halacha?
What's holding?
Both. It's holding both. It's one big thing, and it has on it two things. It has mukta and non-mukta on it.
Fork and garbage.
Right. So the halacha is whichever one is more valuable, that determines the status of the item, of the base.
Silver fork, not plastic fork.
Oh, so this is what I said. So for example, just go to this case. So I said, if let's say you have the tray of the leichter. The leichter that has the is mukta, because the leichter has a fire on it. It's holding fire. It's mukta. So the tray is a bussis to the leichter. But it's also, if you put a piece of diamond ring on it, now it's a bussis to two things, to the diamond ring and to the candlesticks. So now, if the candlesticks are worth less than the diamond ring, you could pick up the whole thing and the tray and move it, because the diamond ring takes over. So what I said was, yeah.
So the fork can't
basically
be a plastic.
So if you want to move the lichter around,
as long as the lichter is out.
What?
Once the lichter is out.
Right. Once it's out, you can't move it.
So if you want to move the lichter around on Shabbos, if you have something on there.
Yes, you could put something on there, yeah.
You can now deliberately put a ring on there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Before Shabbos.
It's very Nagan Chanukah.
Why before Shabbos?
On Shabbos.
Why before Shabbos?
No, because it has to be that Ben Hashmoshes is when you establish what this thing is a bus is for. At the beginning of Shabbos is when it's determined what is this thing a bus is for. You can't make it on later. No, it's very Nagan, this thing on Chanukah.
That's a problem.
So the fork, does because it have to be a valuable
well, fork? Well, listen, so let's go like this. It may not be so posh at the case, but let's say you put, so now you have a garbage bag can, and it's holding garbage
bag. Boom, done. So Ben, that's when it counts. Yeah. Anything else that they have to
right. Make it. I'm saying it's very Nigel Hanukkah, because Hanukkah.
Why does Ben Ashmoshes do that again?
We have to learn that. But that
why
that's,
can't the Matzias can't change
it? No. Now Hanukkah, what happens is people light their Hanukkah licht on a table by the window. Right. You don't keep it there the whole Shabbos because they're running around. So again, so what you could do is on the table, you could put something which is more expensive than the menorah and then move it. Move the whole table.
How about money?
Oh yeah, is that gonna help you? So now like this. So with the garbage can. So the garbage can is a bussis to the garbage. So what I was saying is that if you put something else in the garbage can, that the garbage can should be a bussis to something mutter and the garbage, as long as the, okay, then it's okay because then it's, the garbage can is not mukta. You still have to. It's still not so. You still have to be certain details. But that's basically the point. So if you have any now. Since garbage has no value, right? So really, even a plastic fork is more valuable than all the garbage combined, right?
Sometimes there's even plastic forks in the
garbage, yeah, but the dirty, clean one is more valuable than the dirty one. Okay, so therefore...
You put that between the garbage bag and the can.
It's not that clean.
Yeah. So now the garbage can is a bussis to two things. The garbage can is a bussis to that fork and a bussis to the garbage. Right? So which one is more valuable? The fork. So therefore now it's not a bussis anymore, and now maybe it will be mutter. Maybe. I have to still
sounds
get the
loophole-ish to me.
It's a little... Well...
Loopholes are good. We're not looking for plumbers in.
There's a couple of details in this halacha why it may not be so posher, but this is the basic setup.
When you get on,
fine. Hashem next week.
Fork in the garbage.
Okay.